One Right and a New Reel this Sunday afternoon, the 27th of June, 1971, and I'm setting it up again for Mr. Weaver. Channel One Right, a New Reel, this Sunday afternoon, 27th of June, 1971, and I'm setting it up for Mr. Weaver. Jim and Suzanne have talked to him several times, and there's a good deal to go over. Channel One Right, the New Reel, this Sunday afternoon, the 27th of June, 1971. Jim and Suzanne setting it up for Mr. Weaver. And there's a good deal to talk about. Jim and Suzanne have visited him several times, and there's a good deal to go over. Channel One Right, New Reel. I'm setting up for Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, the 27th of June, 1971. Jim and Suzanne have visited with him several times, and there's a good deal to go over.
Come see me, and I had to come hunt him up.
You know, it's getting awful, ain't it? When you can't count on any of your friends.
If I ever go off anywhere, I'll have more company than in the world of staying home.
Yeah.
Lots of days. I don't see nobody. That's a good town.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I had that fixed right over there.
If you don't get it just right, it won't go in either.
No, I'll fix it, Jim. You just sit down. Mr. Weaver? It has been mighty dull over here.
Yeah, well, you take... All I've done is when I felt like it, I get outside trying to clean up my place. You know, it was a mess. I haven't got a year old cleaned up yet.
How come?
Because it's such a large place, you know. This place back here where I was operating,
well, you,
still gives me trouble. And I can't work on this so much.
You keep it in pretty good shape.
Well, they put a notice up in town that you weren't allowed a board laying around on any place.
Wait a minute now.
You're kidding.
Not a board to be laying around now on your place. Sign is, I believe it's the post office, I see.
In Mickleville?
Yeah.
But you can't have boards
there? Can't have any, no old car sitting in the yards. I just had bought one.
We saw it out there.
And I got the oven. Did you see that? Well, I didn't buy that. I've had that in a long time. They're supposed to fix it 8 months ago, and they didn't do it. And I had to buy this and have something to go in the world with. They never did fix it.
Let me see. I was standing there at the typewriter, and I saw some strange car come up there. What
car?
That's
John. That's your that Cadillac, Chevrolet Cadillac.
Yeah.
That's what I call it, Chevrolet Cadillac. That's a 50 model.
You driving yourself?
Yeah.
Well, we ought to take a ride with it, don't we?
You ought to see. I got tools in there. Like I try to make people think I'm one. I work.
You got a lawnmower in there now, don't you?
Yeah, I went down to see a friend of mine and. I knew he was a pretty good mechanic, you know, on my cord. Just before I got finished with my yard mowing it, I mowed it Friday. I mowed it every 2 weeks,
yeah.
If I can. And so that I went ahead and carried it down there to get him to take it off and let me see. I was afraid to take it off myself and the spring broke in it. I got to find out somebody let somebody put a spring in it for me.
This fella down here, he didn't come up here. Where'd he go? Oh, you didn't see him?
No, I didn't see him.
He can do anything.
He can.
And he will if you catch him. What do you think it is?
the spring broke in that where the cord, you know, you pull it to start it with, the starter. You know, the cord is that spring. It's in there to make it go back, wind back. When you pull it, you know, let it go back.
Mm-hmm.
It's broke.
Okay, what we'll do, before you go back, we'll go by down there and see if he's there. If he's not, first time I see him, we'll come by your house. Oh, you got somebody over there to fix it for you.
Well, I reckon, I don't know who I have or not. Our brother Mountain used to fix them for me. In fact, I bought this here more second-handed from him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Second-handed.
Get the old booger to fix it then.
Well, I didn't know where that... he may not have a spring. Then he... seemed me like he said he'd quit fooling with him. But I'll get anybody I can to fix it, you know, because I don't take that... take chances on putting it on there myself. I'm not a good mechanic.
I saw somebody over there seemed like they had a whole floor full of mowers working on one thing or another.
Well, he lives, you know, going to Interstate 75?
Yeah.
He lives just on the right. About halfway down at that Negus schoolhouse. Old schoolhouse on the right, you make that curve going on, like going out 75. He lived right on a block house. And he now Burns lived just the other side of him. And there's trailers between those two buildings. Now he works on mowers too. But I don't know how he does, but Mountain's good.
Is he?
If he wants to be, he's good. Well, that's Buster's brother. You know J.R.
Oh, you mean J.
You know J.R.
J.R.
Yeah, J.R.
Oh, I heard you talking about Buster.
Buster can work on them, but...
you got this from J.R.
Yeah, I got this from J.R.
Yeah.
Well, Buster can fix them all right. There does a whole lot on them, but J.R. is extra good.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, it's a great loss when J.R. hired out up there at the university. Why, he hadn't been worth a hoot since he started work up there.
At university?
Yes. I can't get him to do a thing for me.
Maybe he got mad at everybody at the university. they're kind of peculiar. They get mad and if they don't like what you do, something they don't kind of like, and you cast something to them, they'll mess it up for you. Both of them does that.
Is that right?
I noticed my car skipping a while ago, and it didn't belong to Skip. Howdy, how are you?
How are you?
Buster wanted to tune it up, you know, after I got it, and it don't run near as good as it did before he got a hold of it. I noticed it skipping a while ago.
Well, now, what about
is he the one who had it before?
No, he didn't have it, but he, of course, a lot of times they'll slip around, that mechanic will slip around and do things to your car, you know, to get to work on it. I paid him $10, and he was doing something. I was standing there watching. I paid him $10. I know that he didn't. That he wasn't doing what was needing to be done. And I don't know much about it. Well, I told Frank to bring me a new carburetor, and we took the old one off, and it had sand all in it, and everything. And this car right out here.
Yeah.
And Frank and I put it on there.
Yeah.
Frank Weaver. And it don't run as good as it did. I'll crank it up and if you all don't find a skip in it, I'll buy you a big turkey dinner. And I sure will.
You know, that explains a good bit.
You've had to do work for you, haven't you?
Of course. I am positive that Buster just didn't want to see me coming. And he didn't do me a bit of good. A lot of times I've been over there.
Well, I said, I don't know anything about mechanical work, but I rated the highest in 10 salesmen for Reddick Motor Company. And diagnosing the case, you know, telling the mechanics what was wrong with the cars I traded for. And I was the highest rated when I was selling cars out of the 10. And I wasn't a mechanic, and I didn't know hardly how to tighten a spark plug or anything like that and take it out. But I don't know, I was on straight sales and cash sales. I was the highest out of the 10. And no repossessed cars that I, when I'm sold, if I didn't think the people could pay the car out, I didn't make the deal. I was working on a commission.
Mm-hmm.
See, like if I was going here and selling to someone, you know, and I didn't think that they're financially able to keep the payments up, I wouldn't take that money just to get that. I wouldn't take it. I didn't take it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd tell them all, and sometimes they'd fall behind with the payments, and to keep their reputation up, I'd lend them money to pay for it. To keep their, but then they'd come right back and pay me out, pay me my money back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured this, that everybody got in a tight sometime and couldn't make a payment.
Yeah.
What if it went in? See, that was again me and them too. If I sold you a car and you couldn't pay it out and I knew it, the companies didn't like that. You get, if you done too much of that, they'd have a man to fire you. Wouldn't let you work for that company.
Yeah.
They had strict rules on that. Boy, the Sabin came up there one day and jumped on me about working at Reddick.
Yeah.
And McIntosh had that station there. Said I had to move to Reddick. That's what he told me. I says, I don't think I do. I says, now listen, I made a living before I ever seen a Ford car, and I says, I can make one without that. I says, now listen, I can't get a good place down there. I'm staying in a hotel up here, and it's a nice place to stay and good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, I'm not going for a little job like that. I'm not going to move on that account. Now then, if don't go and tell Mr. Redden that he's got to quit using me. I says, I'll quit right now. He said, no, I don't even tell you to quit. I don't even tell you to quit. Said, I can't tell you to quit. So I went on and I said, now if you go down at McIntosh and check up on them, I said, you'll find out that they're doing crooked work down there and giving parts, putting parts on there and splitting commission. And I says, that is absolutely against the rules, and I don't do that. So he went down and checked up on them, and I worked on, and they closed that place up. And there's one that reported me.
I wonder why.
Well, you see, he checked up on me, and that's all that they could find against me. I had to be living closer to that place or work for them. I didn't want to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a good, see, the way I was working it on a commission, and I could run my other businesses too, you see, and sell cars on a commission, you see. And so I got $25 for all new cars, back in T-model days then, you see, and A-models, when I was selling cars for them. I worked several years for them. I don't know just how many years I did work. But I'd take it on a commission that I didn't have to work all the time. I wouldn't take a salary job. Because I had a fur business back at that time that paid me more than all the rest of it. Paid me in 12 months and 90 days. Because
yeah.
I'd started that at 15 years old, and after I started that, I wanted the fur business, I wanted to keep it up. But when they put a ceiling price on it and run it down so trappers couldn't catch, that put me out of business. And I bought fur 33 years. I never was hard up for money as long as I could run that business. But since then, of course, I haven't been able to work too much since then, but I think I got up $700 one time saved up. Most of the time, I'm old. I hate to tell it, but it's the truth. See, in that night of day bank business,
when that got you,
I had a banker stop. And that's the worst thing that you can have when the bank closes. You got to put up that much more.
Yeah.
I had a farm down in Marion County with about 20 acres and thick, where pine timber just average that large then. And I was going to just let it stay there on it. Just let that. It was nice, long, it was thick, you know. And there's a house on it. Woods caught a fire and burned the house down, or somebody set the fire, or some way or another. And it burned. But I was just keeping the land, you know, and I was going to let this other. I just had 40 acres of land, but it was really good land. down between Dun Ellen and Ocala, you know, on that bench land, you see those big pastures? It's sitting out in there. They took that. And I had a mortgage on a house and lot in Micanopy where they paid me all but $550. They took that $550, and I couldn't even work.
When the bank
went out. Yeah. And then I had to, they claimed that I still owed $2,400, you know. All I saved, I went up to Piper State Bank, and 3 days before they closed it up, I was keeping check on it, you know. I had a little checking account up there, about $450, $60, I think it was. I went up and drew that out, and they couldn't take that out of my pocket. They could take everything else I had but that money. They couldn't take that. And that's all I saved out of all of it.
They just flattened you.
Put me in a hole, $2,400.
That bank stock is what got you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that hurt. Then the company that I worked for owed me $3,200, and they went broke. And I lost that $3,200. So then I was in debt. Instead of having money, I was in debt $2,400. It's hard to, then the panic is on, you see.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get work out of that. Well, if I could have worked, I could have went on. Of course, I reckon I haven't tried like I should have. I could have saved up some money since then, but I said, disgusted, I didn't ever care who I saved them.
I guess so.
But I'd work day and night for this money, you know, during the first season. If it took all night to tend to my business, I'd start down the job.
Yeah.
I went to work one morning at 7 o'clock, and 11 o'clock that night, I quit work. I mean Tuesday night. I went to 7 o'clock Monday morning. And of course, I had to go and put a man, go with him on a route to buy furs, you see, and I had to go with him and worked all night and came in, and I had a lot of bookwork to do, and I had to go in there and sit down at the desk and ship out a lot of stuff that day, Tuesday, and I bought about $1,500 worth of furs while I was out that day and night, you see. And they had to be cared for. Of course, I had a man stayed in the firehouse all the time for me. And that helped out a whole lot.
Who stayed in there for you?
I don't know who I was told. It was Mr. Eldon lived in that little house just before you get to Macanopy down there. Did you know him?
No, I just heard you talk about him.
Well, he worked for me in the firehouse. And Johnny, his son, that lived over here at Orange Springs, worked for me all on the East Coast and back in there. Tom Stokes at Wilson worked down around Inverness and all back down in there in Wildwood and on down towards Orlando. And then he'd go make a trip up around Rayford. And I worked from Brooksville to Old Town on the West Coast.
Gee whiz, you
were. And I worked out and kept the books and did a... didn't use no stenographer enough. I did it all myself.
All that money went down.
There's 1 or 2 years I handled around $1,700 or $1,800 worth of furs a month for 3 months. And we all got out and bought it. Of course, now there's two fellas in Lake City was buying furs for me too. And Carton Woods over at Chieflin and then I'll think of his name in a minute. Hudson, down chief, when he had a store, he bought furs out too, you see, and I'd go and pick them up. Fellow down at Cedar Keys bought. Hodge down there, he bought quite a furs. And I'd go down there and pick them up, and then some of the trappers didn't sell to them. They wouldn't sell to them, they'd sell to me, though, when I went in there.
Yeah.
And of course, what they'd carry into these fellas, they didn't get out on the road like we did, the rest of us did, you see. And I had this man at Brooksville bought furs down there, and I bought what he had. Those fellas at Lake City, about $250 to $550 a week, they'd bring me, those two fellas bought and brought to me.
Well, it sounded like you didn't have to do much trapping yourself at all.
Oh, man, I did.
Did you bring your...
When I first started, I told some few of them how to try out. I went out to buy them when I was 15 years old. I had a little money I'd saved, coat with my dog and saved up. Mm-hmm. And I borrowed $10 from my daddy and went out to buy them for us.
I believe this old light.
I want to get back before it rains too much. And this.
Oh, it's not going to rain, Mr. Weaver. It's just going to lighten up out there.
Just fool us?
Just going to fool us.
Well,
just going to sprinkle on you again.
Yeah. Did y'all go out and see my couple of fats while you're there?
No.
When you going out there and look at it?
We can stop by next time we're by there. Okay. We're looking for you.
I didn't want to get in there with the dogs. Well, they, after they get used to it, they won't bark too much.
Well, they were barking a little. We didn't want to.
Well, they'll bark. They're going to bark or two or three of them if it's strangers. Yeah. Now, if I'm not tired, they bark much more than they will if I'm there. Yeah.
That's a little too high, isn't it?
No, that'd be about right. I can turn you around to see if it is.
Bruce and those puppies were barking at us a little bit.
Those little puppies?
Yeah.
No, the ones in the pen.
They don't use. They just starting not to bark and those.
Oh, you'd rather have this one?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I believe I will be the best. And just like look back this way.
Yeah.
Huh?
You can cut that off, I believe. But I can stay there, turn you around with this.
It's a little hard to turn me around, Mr. Weaver. I'm not a. I tell you, just take your choice.
I put you a little too high, don't I? Can you lower that?
No.
You can't.
That's a little high, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You got your box car on your head. That ain't the same box, is it? Or same chair?
No, we haven't used this rig before.
I didn't think we had. Let's see.
Now, it's not quite quite high enough by itself, is it?
Yeah, I can make that all right. I can stoop down a little bit if I have to, you see. That'll be all right.
Well, I'm trying to get it.
About half that.
I'm trying to get it, so.
Well, I can reach up there and do that.
Well, we can go in business over here, you see, and you won't have to stoop.
Did that go in there, though? It don't work there. That's too high.
That's too high.
How about one of the little chairs?
It won't work.
Yes, we're just trying to see.
Well, we can go ahead. If it don't work, see if we're going to, turn it back the other way and see. Turn your box
that's
around.
Right.
I don't know what may slip for you that way.
A lot of slip.
That's
a little better?
Yeah. I just turn his head when I want to turn it.
Yeah,
head
just
this way.
That's right. Just
put it. You have to sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. Now, that's a little bit high, isn't it? Let that down just a little bit, Jim. See?
Yeah.
We're going to have a system here. We haven't quite got it yet. This is not.
That box is just a little bit high, about half of it. It'd be just right for that chair.
Yeah, square is my fit in.
Yeah. You sure enough came prepared.
Well, I don't use these much anymore.
Yeah.
But I have to use them on the necks and around in places. I can fix that for you.
Got a pen?
You can fix that. You can fix it any way you want to, Mr. Yeah.
Fix it around like that so it won't let it go down. I meant to. Bring a cloth. I had one there. I
didn't
put
fine.
In. I forgot it.
That's just fine.
Well, we ought to be able to afford a cloth.
Yeah,
man would go with everything.
I have two there, and send one to London and keep the other.
Now, Mr. Weaver, let me tell you, you have to keep your eye on this equipment. You see, I try to fix it in here so nobody can walk in here. And it's against the rules to walk in here. You see, I have a lot of equipment in here. So I block it as much as I can.
Can it in front or not?
I can't
well,
finish, see.
Did you know everybody makes a mistake? I even step on that and pull that around myself sometimes.
Yeah.
See, usually, see, when we pick for it in a barber shop, we got it where it won't get out of the way.
Yeah.
But in different places like this, and this is a long cord, this would be a nice right here. See, if I had it round, put it around something like that, you know.
Yeah, there you are.
If I'm not careful, though, I want to move it, and I can't. It'll get around where I couldn't move it.
Well, Mr. Weaver, if you were trapping from
the
time you were 15, when did you ever have time
doing barbering? Doing barbering?
Yeah.
I did it on Saturday afternoons.
Just on Saturday afternoons?
Yeah. And come a rainy day, people would come down and we'd cut the hair. You know, we couldn't work out on the farm, you see.
So you can see better if you stand right here.
Well, I can't show it too much because these clippers not cutting too, too good, but...
Get over here where you can see it.
Let me move this just a little bit. I'll get around here on this side and cut this first. This side right in here, the little clippers get set more down even. See, they won't cut good up that way.
Mm-hmm. Well...
They're not cutting good here. They will do fairly good. They're going to taper up. I'll have to do that with the shearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tape them up when the clippers are working good. I can tape them up. See, this hand goes the other way. You see, you take your clippers and go this way. Certain ways that your hand goes, you don't see how much different you cut.
Yeah. Those puppies' tails
and
growing that little curlicue on the end.
They just won't. When it leaves, when it gets away from you, you can make them do it. Sometimes you can make them cut right at this corner and right at this, and it cuts pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not cutting in the middle. If I just go a little close right this way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I'll get them set again, maybe, and to where did they cut from the collars.
I
taper up like this, you see, but that's the way you taper up. You just bring, that's cutting good. You can see it gets how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get them set, Mr.
I'm planning on, if I get to go to get up and game, I'm planning on just getting there. Another pair, and then just work with these until I get them set myself. I have two pairs. That's what I need to do.
Well, how do you set them?
I don't know. It's something that's right in here. You take these here, you take this out,
mm-hmm.
right in here. I'll take them, I'll tie it up and show you after that.
I never saw inside of a pair of clippers.
Yeah, I can take, if the clipper's cutting good, I can go all the way around that way and know just how much to hold it back up to keep them, if they won't sideburn, if you're doing them, they won't sideburn.
Does that blade in there look like a mowing machine, just
mm-hmm.
back and forth?
Yeah. Put your hand right here now. Put your hand right here, don't put it to the front. Just hit your hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now put it on top here and you see it. Put your nail, let your nail go right down there. You feel it hitting it?
Yeah.
Go right on the cross side. It takes lots of practice to cut hair. And if I didn't cut a little long, I'd soon be out of practice. And I could hardly cut it.
You know, that just doesn't sound right. That you just, you got to stay in practice to swim.
You got to anything. You take no matter anything. You got to keep practicing all the time on it. And keep your mind on it. I'm going to use this shears now around here to cut this down to where the clippers are hitting it in a little bit on the side.
Mm-hmm. one you were saying you had.
You mean they won't quite do it?
See, I can go around here, just see here, and cut it right around here, would it? That's the way we used to have to do old times.
With
scissors. Did you ever see any hand clippers?
No.
Old fashioned?
No.
I've seen them. It's real.
You have?
Hey, you just grip
yeah.
them like that?
Now,
yeah.
I wore out a mini pad. Now, I don't think
is that
I
right?
don't get tarred on Saturdays on the, and stand behind a barber chair. Just
well,
going that way with the working your hand that way.
Well,
right.
What can you do to get your hand, keep your hand working, Mr. Reef?
Keep it working?
Mm-hmm.
You just never quit. You look at my hands now, huh? How I can work them right now.
Yeah.
I'm, if I'd give to the pain or anything like that as I have, I couldn't even use that way. And here's a way to stop that joint hurting, and right in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pull, this don't do it much good. This way, rubbing crossways.
Mm-hmm.
You take your joint that way and rub it crossways. And I've had mine broke up playing baseball. I used to try to get them when I couldn't quite reach them and catch them on the end of the fingers. And then I had to plow the next week. I couldn't let Dad know what they had. I couldn't have played no more ball.
That's
no,
right.
He understood for that.
You couldn't let on that anything happened.
No,
to
I just went ahead and that's the reason you drove crooked. You see how crooked it all?
Good Lord.
It knocked out of place, you see, and me plowing.
Well, all four of your fingers, knuckles,
oh,
that
Lord.
Last knuckle.
They've been knocked out and bummed up. All these joints have been and playing ball.
And
I just like to play.
The kitchen, huh?
Beg pardon?
And you got the blisters on the other hand from the kitchen, the knuckle ball?
I had a little ball I could throw right there and a speed ball and I could strike nearly anybody out and that'd be a bleeding in a few minutes and I never did figure out how come that there's bleed. It's the way I turn that ball loose. It looked like it's coming fast and the fella starts striking and it'd be coming down slow and they'd strike at it. Well, they'd get the mind on that, then I'd come across with a fast ball. I'd change up.
That would rattle them.
Yeah, and... Anybody, I noticed every one of the other pitchers has pitched the sidearm and make it in or out with the sidearm.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that way, twisting your arm. But I done this one, I done all mine by twisting my wrist and using my fingers. And
that's that fourth finger, that knuckle there.
How did that knuckle get there? Those are right the skin off of it that every time I throw that ball. And I've struck out three. A good batter right in a row throwing those two balls. I threw them out and in, but I let them be balls because I knew they'd hit them. These batters could hit those.
Mm-hmm.
But they had one struck out. I struck out three right in a row.
See, Dan, you can see better over here now.
Yeah. Was that in that game where that real good team thought they could just really take over your team?
Now you watch your voice.
Several of them. See, that wasn't in those leagues I was playing. I didn't pitch in the leagues. I pitched just when our pitchers would get to where they'd hitting them too. It hitting them good, and I was playing second base. Well, I noticed what I could see what they're throwing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I went in the box, I threw that speed ball and that slow ball and I throw my out and in, every other ball would be out and in, you know, but it'd be a ball. I wouldn't let it go across the plate because it hit. But they wasn't used to those two balls, you know, like the others I was throwing.
Now the out and the in ball?
Yeah, making curve. Otherwise,
curve.
Out
and
in.
I see.
Yeah.
See, there's one called out, just threw it this way, let it roll out your finger, make it, that'd be called in, and you twist your arm. And twist your arm this way, make it turn this way, and that'd be that's where you threw a out. And I could break I was throwing a wrist break most of the time. Just twist my wrist, and I'd save my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Let my arm be straight when I turn it loose, just twist it that way, just so I turn the ball loose.
Yeah.
And a lot of other pitchers did that, but some of them didn't. They threw a side arm all the time with a arm break. Now this is what you wanted to learn is right here.
Yeah.
See that hair grows back this way now. You notice how I push that comb?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Up away. How it goes different ways. See, if it comes straight down, you go up this way. Now, I haven't showed you that. Where it comes straight down, you go up that way, you see?
Yeah.
And till you get on to cutting it, don't cut too fast at the time, but if you get on to cutting it, now I can just start here and just cut one time going over it, never have to go back over it. They cut a whole lot, you know, what I'm going to cut off. Never go back over it. But you change your comb and use this side, that other end to do that with, cut that up there with. But at the edge, you use that fine part.
Mr. Weaver, you make it sound mighty simple, but you are actually doing a good many things at one time.
Well, you
shift from one side of your comb to the other. And
yeah, well, you got to do that. Well, I'm showing it, so watch both of them. Watch the shears and how I pull the shears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make it catch thicker that high. You see, that high wants to come back this way, naturally. See, when you get it cut, you got to watch. If you cut it going all up this way, it won't look right.
Mm, yeah.
You got to keep it going way at, I'm just doing this showing you. You just cut a little out when you go to get that finishing part about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and make it look smooth when you comb it back. And knowing the way it's staying, it's going to stay like that. Now this here comes straight down right here in the back, and watch how I cut that. You go right straight up with that now. Not too fast for your comb, but cut fast for your shears. That's the reason it don't show a gap when I cut it, you see. When I comb it back down, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that, after you learn how to do it, you got to practice that. If you know how you want to do it, you got to practice a long time to be able to do that. See, this here, I've got to cut this, push this a little sideways to make it cut even.
Did you do that with a hand clipper sometimes, too? Inside just the scissors?
I take clippers to clip this here all up there and just take this comb on this here. I'd run my clipper this way or this way, either one of that comb go right on there.
Mm.
I did before, you know, when it's cutting good.
Yeah.
But you probably didn't remember it. But after you do that, now with the clippers, sometimes the hair will jump from those and you leave long hair. Always take your shears and go over this way. And just a little bit, and you'll always have it right.
I can set up for the straighter, Mr. William.
That's all right, you. I'm getting along pretty good. I'm just showing her how to do these things. See, this hair here now, you cut this straight on up because it's leaning about the. If it curls back this way, pull it a little bit this way.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your shears a little that way, and it'll be smooth when you get through with it. Yeah. That's you learn how, it's easy, but it ain't easy to learn.
You had to learn it by yourself then.
Yeah, I learned that myself watching that fella that cut hair so good down there in Carbon Hill. That's the way he'd do. The rest of them do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And going over real fast and be just gapped up, then it take them a long time to cut the gaps out. This man went this way, just like I'm going gradually up that way and cutting. And he didn't have to go back over it. And I said, that's where I'm going to learn how to cut hair. I don't like the way you look up.
Oh, I see.
I beat them out just going to school, you know. I didn't have to go to Birmingham, and I started to come to Jacksonville, but I didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I worked with a lot of the students if they went, but it's practice what it takes.
Yeah.
Then some never can learn to cut hair. As old as I am, it's unusual. You see me not shake. I never shake. I'm nervous, but I never shake.
Mm-hmm.
And doctor says that's the worst nervousness there are. You feel like you are, and you try to do something, and you can't hardly. Now
yeah.
Today, my nerves is pretty good today, and don't bother me about that. Don't matter what I try to do here, sure you don't bother me a bit in the world.
Yeah.
It's natural. But some days I just can't. Now you turn back this way a little bit. I reckon I ought to go ahead and cut this side while you turn this way. Just stay where you are, and then you won't have to turn them all.
Did you ever have a fellow work for you that couldn't cut?
I've had him that could cut it, but wasn't very good barbers, and they couldn't hold a trade. Couldn't keep bids.
That's right. That's the trouble. They can't.
Not in the fur business. I had the barbershop and pool room then.
And a pool room.
Yeah, and the pool room that I run through the summer myself, you see.
Yeah.
And I barbered, but through the winter, there's 90 days from December to 1st of March, I didn't do anything but buy fur. I didn't barber at all. Mm. But I had the barber in there. And some of them was pretty good barbers. But I'd barbered down making open so long till they'd come from Island Grove and a lot of different places, you know. And I had a good business still there.
That's a long way to come.
Couldn't
they drove from Ocala, ladies did, to get me to cut the hair when the first one to get in the cut. They'd see hair cuts where I'd cut, you know, people's hair. And Gainesville, I had quite a few customers out of Gainesville.
Couldn't
I used to make more cutting ladies' hair than I did on cutting men's hair back there.
Well, what do you know? You...
See, we got 50 cents to cut ladies' hair, you know, and...
Yeah.
And we only got 35 for to cut men's hair.
You should have stayed in business, Mr. Weaver. You got $1.75 now.
Yeah, $2 and $2.50, $3.50 in a lot of places. That's what it cost you.
Is that right?
Well, I got to where I couldn't stand on my feet, you know, and I had ulcerated stomach, and I had to quit barbering it. See, stomach trouble with ulcers is caused from nerves. And, you see, now I can reach in there and cut this post anyway. You see, I can cut it back this way.
Mm-hmm.
Cut, if you can't get to it one way, you have to change your hand around the other.
Well, you're pretty flexible with your hands.
Well, I'll tell you, you've got to keep that. Now, if your hands ever feels toward the circulation not good, you got to do that yourself after you get a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to just learn to take care of yourself. I used to study and get doctors to tell me what to do, you know. I had a doctor friend, and now they won't tell you anything. You got to guess at it yourself. They don't, nobody know what to do, you see. They don't get paid for that.
And if they tell you, they tell you words that you never heard of.
Well, you could, they call the words, and the way they spell it, you can, I mean, if you don't take practice, I mean, study as a nurse or a doctor, you won't know what it means.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I had some old doctors, you know, had all kind of diplomas, you know, and they was good friends of mine, and so they had back in the T model days, you know, in some places they couldn't go with their cars, you know, and to see the patients. And I'd carry them, and I wouldn't charge them anything. They wanted me to, then they'd help me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't charge me for things.
Well, now, when was that, Mr. Weaver?
Well, that was back in the 20s.
Was you down here then?
Yeah, 21. I came here in 1921.
But who'd you carry around?
Dr. Roseborough was an old doctor. He had an Essex, and he was close to the ground. He couldn't get off the highway. And roads is bad. You don't know nothing back then. You had to have a T model to go, and a lot of times you couldn't go there. But you could, they're so small, the people are always good to you, you know. If you got stuck, there'd be a crowd come out there and help you. You just bunch get around the car and pick it up and put it out.
Mm.
Yeah.
And push it out, make it go what it wanted to do or not.
Yeah.
But now then, people don't stop to help you.
Yeah. There's nothing they can do, Mr.
Well, there's nothing they can do now. Then another thing, hardly, and another thing, there have been so many people held up when they stopped, you know.
Yeah, but even if everybody's honest, there's not much they can do. And they can't push you, because, you see.
Not with these automatic shift cars. You can't do no pushing much with them, because I had one. I did a little with mine, but I could tell the difference in it.
Besides that, the bumpers don't fit.
Yeah.
I carry a chain, what I always use mostly. I've always carried a chain.
Yeah,
So I could...
Roseborough?
Dr. Roseborough.
Did he wear a high top hat?
No, he's been passed away. He's an old doctor. When I came in 21, he died long in the 30s.
Yeah.
over at Windsor here. His rear door out close to Windsor. They own that one of those big homes over at Windsor.
Move that thing out of your way there.
Well, I'm supposed to turn you around and not Scotch around. I'm so used to walking around.
Just get a hold of it and pull it.
Yeah.
It'll resist.
Well, you can pull it right over right up here. It'll be all right. I can help you pull it.
That do it?
Yeah, that's all right. I'm seeing that.
Don't we move?
No, you can stay still now. Just stay right still. I'm okay now, I think.
And he just travel all around the country?
Yeah, they used to, you see, back in those days, if you called him up or someone get on a horse and ride to town for a doctor, he went out to your home and treated you right there. You could stay at home, you know. A lot of people worry so bad if you put them in the hospital, you know.
They do.
And it hurts them so bad that they don't get along near as good as it would be if they was at home.
Yeah.
Of course, if it's bad cases, you know, eventually Ms. Williams opened up a little private hospital. Go ahead.
You getting out there where you're scrooging, Mr. Weaver. I want you to get here where you got.
Well, see? Let me turn this around. No, that's all right. That's all right.
Plenty of room. How about that?
That's fine. He got a little bit.
I've heard of Roseboro, but I don't know anything about him. Did he smoke a cigar?
I don't remember where he did or not, but he had a brother was a doctor over at Palatka, and he smoked. Dalton Roseboro. No, this is Dalton. That was Dalton Roseboro over at Windsor, and this is Fletcher over here at Micanopy. But he was an old doctor, but he had diplomas in his office down there from several different colleges where he had. Took special training, you know. He was good. Old Dr. Daly was practicing in just beginning here.
I don't remember. And he's an old man, an old doctor in the 20s when you first got there.
No, he was a young doctor then. Dr. Daly was.
No, I was talking about Roseboro.
He is in 60s then, I guess.
Yes. Well, now he... what kind of shoes did he wear?
I don't remember that.
Well, now you see, a lot of them wore those black shoes, and they were sort of square shoes.
Box-toed. I reckon he wore just a common shoe, just like most everybody wore. Best I remember about, I didn't impress that on my mind, but.
And you wear a suit?
You know what kind of shoes I wore then?
Yeah.
Dr. Reed's cushion sole. They cost me $11 then. They cost me $40-$50 now, but I can't wear them now.
You have bad feet?
Yeah, I stand on the barbershop and I had to have something. See, it's cushions and everything. Well, they were cheaper than the $2 and $3 pair of shoes was. Because about every 6 months you'd have to buy a pair of those. And you could put 2 to 3 pair of soles, carry them again, go and get them put on for a dollar. So after all, you could wear them 3 years. I'd wear them for a dress 1 year, then I'd take those to work in the next year, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then go and buy me another pair. And I did. I bought 3 pair, and then I had to skip 2 years. I had too many shoes. They'd lasted too long. It's much cheaper than the other. In the long run, it was cheaper than the other ones. But I'd use those now if I could find them. If I could buy them, I don't know if I could ever get enough money together to get a pair now.
The nurse's shoes are not like that, I don't guess.
Nurse's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they have cushion soles, too. In fact, I put a cushion sole in my shoes now that I buy. Mm-hmm. I've got a pair of cushion soles in these shoes.
Oh, you buy those inner soles?
Yeah, inner soles.
They are nice.
Gives a little spring in your feet, you see.
I've worn those.
I buy those, buy shoes half a number large, and buy those, put them in there, and they fit then.
Oh, you have to have a little larger shoe?
Well, the shoes now are the same size that we used to get. They're not as large as used to be.
Yeah.
I've got a good pair up there. that if give me one, I've got to carry them back. And I've had them nearly a year, and I haven't been able to get back. I'm suffering so much, I just didn't worry about it. Carry them back to Gainesville and swap them, and there's kangaroos, and I paid $15.39 for them. And one of them's a small shoe, smaller than the other, and I can't use them.
In one pair?
Yeah.
One smaller than the other?
Yeah, one
that.
Mates.
Yeah, they were
mates.
I've done that.
They weren't mates, you see. And I didn't wear them.
Well, you
they're
better.
Supposed to, I don't know, they may not do it now, but they're supposed to give me another pair of shoes. A self-service shoe store where I have to buy them at.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't feel good on the feet like those other kind that I was telling you about. You put
those
on you, they just felt like you stepped in cushions. And
your
feet didn't hurt near as bad. See, my feet will swell if I stand up here too long. My feet now are swelling.
Yeah. Mm. And it would still feel good to have a cushion.
I'll stay sit around out on the front porch and out in the lobby in the hotel when I was barbering. And let the swelling go down out of my feet before I could go to bed. I couldn't go to sleep now, and if I'd lie down, I'd just roll into them and get nervous. And I'd get out and sit out there about 30 minutes or an hour and let the swelling hold, put my feet up and let the swelling go
put
back.
Put your feet
out.
Up on the railing?
Yeah, let the swelling go back, then I'd go in and go to sleep and rest better. That was on Saturdays. Now, it didn't do me quite that bad through the week because it didn't have that much business.
Oh, them Saturdays were killers, weren't they?
you take back then, everybody came to town to get a haircut or shave on Saturdays. I shaved 60 men besides the other work and making over one day.
Besides the trapping, too, huh?
Oh, man, I worked from 7 that morning till 2 the next morning to do it. and done the work. Looking at what would a barber now say if he had to do that? But you had to then to make a living. I mean, to save up any money.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Weaver, you don't tell me about any of the people back there. Now, old Dr. Rossboro, I've heard various people talk about him, but he not even I got no idea at all about him.
Well, he was always a mighty fine man to me.
Well, now what good does that do me?
And he was a good doctor, too.
What good does that do me?
Well, that's about all I know, because I was having to work all the time.
You can see him just as clear as day.
Oh, you mean how did he look?
Well, how did he look and act? Kind of what sort
nice
of fellow was
he? He used good English.
He did use good English.
Good English.
Well, that would make
nice.
Him conspicuous.
Nice and polite, and it was a great evil to me to listen to him use that English too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you can someone that go use good English and you stay around them and you practice using it, you can learn that.
Just,
it's just
like
as easy.
Just like barbering, isn't it?
Yeah. And
but he was did his family live there?
Yeah, his family lived there.
Did they all use good English?
All the ones that I knew did. I didn't know too many of them.
Well, they
his
were.
Brother and,
they were sort of conspicuous?
No. They were just nice, common, quiet people.
Well, if they were, they didn't use good English.
Well, not the English that you teach them now, you mean?
No, I'm not talking about the English teaching now. I'm not talking about then. No, I'm talking about then.
No, they didn't. They're always nice and polite and speak to you and to call you by the name and be friendly. If they could do you a favor, they'd do it and go ahead. And if they couldn't,
yeah.
Of course, the doctors had to charge people, but they didn't overcharge them like they do now. They overcharge you now a great deal more than then it's really fair to you. Lots of us can't go to a doctor on account of it. I can't. You got the prices too high, just like barbers got the prices high. People can't afford to get haircuts like that.
That's right.
I can't now.
Well, did they live in town, in Micanopy there?
Yeah, they lived there in Micanopy. And And his mother lived over at Windsor.
Mr. Weaver, somebody told me Micanopy was aristocratic now compared to what it used to be. Always been crummy over there. And that Carolina Hotel, a lot of people living there, and very few of them married.
Lived in the Carolina House Hotel?
Yes.
Well, now then, one of the ladies married, and the other one didn't marry. She had never married until she got old, and she married a turpentine man in Micanopy, Mr. Ball, and he was a nice fella. And he stayed there a great deal.
Yeah.
He couldn't marry. She was I don't like to tell these things. She was a Catholic and he was a Protestant, and the Catholics wouldn't let him marry.
Yeah.
So that I don't like to tell those things, because I'm not partial against anybody's religion. And
That ain't telling very much, I wouldn't think. Is that public information?
Well, I always figured that was more or less their business and me not say nothing. And I don't like to comment on a lot of those things.
You ain't commenting, you're just telling it.
Either telling the truth or telling it wrong one.
No, you're just telling it what happened. You not approving or disapproving?
Well, I figured that was their business, and I didn't have much to say about it.
Did people meddle with you?
Well, you know, some people are going to meddle with everybody, some, you know, and a lot of people will not meddle much.
Yeah, I mean back then.
Not too much.
So you're too busy. They couldn't catch up with you.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't stop long enough for you to catch up too much.
Yeah. Couldn't catch up with you.
People was pretty nice to me. I left hand it to all those old people who lived in Micanopy when I first came out. They all, when I was doing business, if they could send anything my way, they always recommended me to them. And so I appreciated all that. Dr. Daly and Ms. Daly and all of them, when I was in business, Barb, and they always recommended me to be all right, and I always appreciated it.
Whatever happened to old Dr. Daly?
He died. He had kidney trouble.
Young?
He was about 40, 50, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, can you come here and look on this side now? See how... I didn't even show you when I got right there, but I can't cut much more there.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little more comes off right there. You can do that with your shirt if you don't trim them. Now, if you trim them, you can't do that with your shirt. You can cut it to where it looks just like it's supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to thin that a little bit more here. You see, it's too thick.
We don't get that much attention in a haircut, do we?
Well, I've been talking more now. I was cutting.
Well, I keep thinking we're going to work into something over here, Faye.
The old doctor, Dr. Roseburg?
Roseburg,
yeah. He didn't always make people pay him money, did he?
Beg your pardon?
He didn't always make people pay him in money, did he?
Well, I don't know where he made anyone pay him or not, but some people, he'd go and treat them. If they didn't have the money, both the doctors would go and treat them. And I guess you all seen them do that.
Oh, yeah.
Take the patients, you know, back then.
Mm-hmm.
And someone got sick. someone got sick back then, rest somebody go around or have hard luck, go around and take up a collection, everybody donated and put them back on their feet and helped them, and back in those days. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's some few people didn't help Eddie, and some tried to beat you on everything. Oh, you just like to do now.
Yeah. Anybody ever beat you, Mr. Weaver?
I don't know. I thought they did.
Let me tell you.
They didn't pay me anyway.
At the barbershop?
Yeah. Well, that old me. Some of them go to leave, you know, at old me in the barbershop, and they'd tell me, says, how much do I owe you? I'm going to send it back to you. I'd tell him, I said, you forget about that, go ahead. I says,
you knew it might as well.
No, by the way, a lot of them would send me their little checks back, $2 and $3, you know, they owed me. Lots of them did.
What'd you do, keep a little book? With?
No, I didn't. I kept record of all of this, and I'd tell them, but I'd say, you go ahead and forget it. You got a family or you, me. I says, I'd make it without it. And they'd say, some of them say, no, sir, I'm going to send it to you. I owe you, and I don't owe nobody. And some of them going off and never even tell you they're leaving, you see, and owing you.
Yeah. Well, now, of these 60 people that you had that Saturday from between 7 o'clock in the morning and 11 o'clock at night, or was it 2 in the morning?
About 1 to 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Now, how many of them did you have to put on the little book?
Well, I don't remember. There wasn't very many of them that did that.
Yeah.
Most of them paid.
Most of them had the money.
Most of them paid. Which I carried a book if anyone wanted it. Or maybe I wasn't even charged if they'd come in and paid me, all right, and if they didn't, all right. They need it just as bad as some stranger come by, you know, and I've give them shaves for nothing, you know, sort of catch rides or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't make a habit now, and they'd come back next time and want me to give them a shave. I didn't give them a free shave.
Oh.
But anybody come in and need to shave, if he didn't have the money, I'd give it to him. I said, I'll give you one. But I said, I'm not going to keep this up. Come back by, and I had a barber working for him. I'd tell him, I said, no, I'll give you one for you. And I said, now, if this other barber wants to give you one, what you and him does, it's all right to me. He won't have to pay me my commission. And I wouldn't shave no more. They'd come right back and want nothing for nothing.
Sure.
And they wasn't working. They were just bums now. That wasn't like someone that lived there, you know, that was sick and had hard luck and out of a job. I never cut a fella off because he is out of a job and living there. If he paid me, if he never did, some of them owed me $450.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And moved away and never did pay me well. I figured that.
Goodness.
I didn't mean for them to do it, but they did. That wasn't all just for haircuts.
They borrowed a little money?
A lot of times they wanted a few dollars to said they would buy the family something to eat. Well, I'm not going to let someone go hungry like that. I'd reach them the money. If they got.